Listening to that introduction reminds me of a story that President Romney told once at conference. He talked about a boy who took a book on penguins back to the library, and the librarian asked him if he liked the book. And he said, yes, but it had an awful lot about penguins that I really didn't want to know. You've seen a wonderful example today of how one of the characteristics that I recommend you embody in your life, and that is a plan A, plan B. When plan A goes bad, plan B is brought to bear. And life is that way. We always don't get what we plan to do. But if we're attentive and have alternative objectives that are consistent with the teachings of the Lord, we make out well. Each time I come to Rick's, I sense a wonderful spirit of excitement that centers in you, its remarkable student body. Somehow the growing realization of your hopes and dreams, your progress in attaining worthy objectives, imbues this campus with a remarkable spirit. It is the finest place I know to obtain a 2-year college degree or to begin a university education. I consider your president, Stephen Bennion, a personal friend. I respect him for his many talents, but most of all, because he is a man of great faith who brings excellence to everything he does. We're blessed to have him concentrate his devotion and capacity on directing this unique college. You're blessed to have a faculty with outstanding individual capacity who are bound together in unity of purpose and testimony to support and strengthen you in these vital years of academic growth. They serve in harmony with devoted priesthood leaders who seek inspiration of the Lord to help you succeed in magnifying your potential here at Rick's. Yet you, individually, striving to obtain your worthy objectives as you live the commandments of God, provide the greatest inspiration here at Rick's. I come to you as a friend with a sincere desire to help each one willing to listen obtain the greatest benefit from your investment of time and effort at Rick's College. My message results from truths I have proven in the crucible of my own personal life, and more importantly, from principles fundamental to the teachings of the Lord. I will speak as though I were talking to a son or daughter, or a very close friend, to share what I know will help you provide increased benefit from the critical period of intense preparation for life and success and happiness in life that you're now engaged in. When I said this is the finest place I know to begin advanced studies, I am aware that there are other schools with more prominent reputations. In case there's someone who feels that they're here because they couldn't go to a larger school, may I share a personal experience with you? I wanted to be an engineer. I applied to the great engineering universities and was accepted by many of them. When it came time to go, however, I found I didn't have enough money. So I went to a university that wasn't even known as an engineering school. Initially, I was concerned about that. Later, I discovered that it wasn't so much where I went, but how I took advantage of the opportunities provided that made the difference. Subsequently in life, I had the experience of serving shoulder to shoulder with men who had graduated from Purdue and MIT and Georgia Tech and other schools. I discovered that I was every bit as well prepared. Take advantage of this marvelous college, for it provides not only a strong academic program, but a unique environment in which you may grow spiritually as you grow intellectually. At the fringes of the wonderful, uplifting enterprise that is Rick's College, there are pockets of activity that lead some students into paths that bring tragedy and disappointment. I wish they were not here, but they are. I counsel you simply, stay away from them and help others resist those influences that can bring nothing but grief and sorrow. I pray that you can understand the enormous worth of the principles we will discuss. May there come confirmation to your mind and heart of their invaluable worth in your life. I feel that the spirit and environment today are right for that to occur. I recognize that most of you will more easily understand what I share because of decisions you have already made. I pray that others who have not yet exercised or made the same personal commitments will be prompted to do so today. Otherwise, this counsel will be of little worth. I'll illustrate with an example. As a mission president, I struggled with an elder who would work for periods of time very effectively, and then would do things which would undermine the good that he had accomplished. I called him into my office one day and placed on the table before us two radios. One was a transoceanic receiver, the other a small transistor radio. I knew he was familiar with electronics. I asked him if he were stranded on an island in the Pacific, which of the radios would he take with him? And he pointed to the powerful multi-band receiver. And then I said, I forgot to tell you, that one has a loose connection, and periodically it causes a short circuit to ground that makes it inoperable. He looked at me and smiled and said, I understand, President. You won't have any more trouble with me. And I didn't. I realize that there are a lot of differences among the student body here. Some need continuing guidance and direction, a jump start early in the morning or help late at night. I leave such in the hands of the marvelous people who are here to help you. They are represented by President Stephen Bennion and his wife, Marjorie, the faculty, staff of Rick's College, the priesthood brethren and solid members and other students who will reach out to you and steady you as you need it. I know you are in good hands. My message today is to the other group. Those of you who have no loose connections and strive to be reliable, I speak to you who have made those decisions in life to be true and faithful to the teachings of the Lord and to live your life by faith when you cannot see the end from the beginning. I address you who, faced with alternatives, unwaveringly choose to follow those that are consistent with the teachings of the Savior. I speak to you who have decided that while you will work to obtain enough for the needs of a family, you will not set your heart on acquisition of wealth and power, but will rather serve the Lord as led by the Spirit. I know the criticisms you sometimes receive. I know of those who would call you fanatical, who cannot understand why you don't do what everyone else seems to do. Yours is a future of limitless potential, because you have decided to be unwaveringly obedient to the Lord. You cannot today imagine what you will accomplish in life. Yet your quiet, uncompromising determination to live a righteous life will couple you to inspiration and power beyond your imagination. Before I present the five specific principles I want to share to help you maximize the benefit of your effort here at Rick's, I will point out some of the blessings that have or will assuredly come to you because of your determination to obey the Lord under all circumstances. I call them the fruits of obedience. One is peace. Peace in a world where that word is hardly understood, let alone experienced. When all the challenges pour down, you will have a quiet inner feeling of support. You'll be prompted to know what to do. You can live in a world of turmoil and great challenge and be at peace. A second fruit is integrity. Integrity is the hallmark of a righteous man or woman. It is the root of trust. It acts as a cement in worthy human relationships and is the foundation of spiritual communication. Oh, how the world suffers today because of dwindling integrity. Within your sphere of influence, you can build on the bulwark of your integrity. Discipline is another fruit you harvest through obedience. To be disciplined is to provide order and consistency to your life. It will permit higher priority matters to rule over those that are of lesser consequence. Righteous discipline is the backbone of noble character. Your discipline will help you consistently make correct choices in the use of your time. It will stimulate you to the proper use of your agency. Self-discipline eliminates the need for forced discipline. One of the most self-disciplined men I know is Elder Russell Nelson of the Council of the Twelve. We were in a meeting together in Nicaragua with missionaries. One of them asked him, what were the messages? What was the content of some of the messages given at conference? He began with President Hunter and went around the circle of the 12 and the two members of the First Presidency and summarized the message they had given at conference. Would a disciplined mind like that help you here as a student? It was not a gift. He has worked hard to discipline his mind. Another fruit is the capacity to work. To receive the joy that comes from productive work. President Hinckley once said to a group of missionaries, "The great accomplishments in life are not reached by extraordinary individuals, but by ordinary individuals that work in an extraordinary way." Last Friday, I was with President Benson. As I spoke to him, he took my hand in his. Even as he approaches 92, there is great strength reflected in that hand. As a young child, it carried water to laborers in the field. As a growing youth, it performed strenuous physical labor. As a devoted husband, father, and priesthood leader, it provided sustenance and encouragement to others. As a prophet of God, it has helped craft messages that have changed lives throughout the world. His life is an eloquent testimony of the great value of hard, purposeful work. The capacity and willingness to work are gifts of God. They are tools that help make us what we dream to be. Hard work is the secret of happiness as well as success. Working diligently in your studies is important. Serving in the church and with your friends is vital. Get up early and work hard through the day. And when you get employment, work for somebody that's very demanding of you. Early in your life, and you'll find that you'll rise higher in every noble objective you want to obtain. Another fruit of your resolve to be obedient is to be demanding on yourself, but to be charitable to others. to look for personal improvement that are improvements that are required and be forgiving of those around you. You will develop a love of service, of giving, of reaching out. Your first thought will not be of self, as is so common in the world today, but of others around you, and that will bring happiness. Consider this example of the blessings that flow from giving of yourself. I know a young man who came to a college having skipped his senior year at high school. He was younger than usual. You can understand why his parents were concerned. In his dorm, there were returned missionaries and young men who had resolved to go on missions. They spent the early hours of the morning and late hours of the evening talking together, reviewing the teachings of the Savior, and singing hymns. They served one in need. His life will never be the same, nor will ours, for he was our son, and has since fulfilled a successful missionary mission in Sweden. Many of you have made the decision to be missionaries. You will bring back to this campus an influence and power that is most helpful. I don't know, there are few places in the world where there's 1,600 returned missionaries like there are in this campus. I hope all of you, men and women alike, will prayerfully consider a mission. It was the turning point of my life. All I treasure began to mature in the mission field. You who have fulfilled worthy missions can help others have that sacred, edifying experience. Explain to those who are undecided some of the harvest you have tasted because of your mission: the joy of service, the appreciation of integrity, discipline, and hard work, the value of worthy companionship, the strength and peace from prayer, the power of love, the ability to act on faith, a heightened capacity to discern the promptings of the Spirit, and a love of the Savior and appreciation for His atonement. Other fruits you will receive when needed are inspiration to know what to do and the power or capacity to do it. The Lord has said, "And ye shall be taught from on high. Sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be endowed with power." When we apply the explanation of President Lee that sanctify yourselves means keep my commandments, that scripture means, "And ye shall be taught from on high," that is inspired, "keep my commandments, and ye shall have power to do that which I have promised." That is a promise to you. Through consistent, unwavering obedience, you will know what to do and will have the power and capacity to do it. There will grow within you the fruit of confidence in self, not pride, but the assurance that as you continue to live worthily, you can accomplish the will of the Lord in your life. You'll be trustworthy. Many will say to you that you're given opportunities that are incredibly rich and that you're lucky. No, it will be that you have earned them because you are trustworthy. You'll be spiritual. You'll be used as an instrument in the hands of the Lord for His work beginning now. Another fruit will mature through the years because of your consistency and willing to set aside the things of the world, your determination to quietly walk the path marked by the Savior. There will distill in your being noble character. Character is not forged in the heat of battle when you're challenged. It comes quietly from decision after decision that is made with the proper use of agency. It is then available to be used to overcome challenge when that presents itself in your life. One of the best examples I know of noble character is President Ezra Taft Benson. From his earliest memory until today, he has been determined to understand the teachings of the Lord and to live them, to be unwavering in that resolve. Consequently, there has distilled in him noble character. As his body ages and weakens, he can't do all of the things that he used to do. But what he is remains unchanged. That is why he can be trusted to be the prophet of the Lord. I will now share the heart of my message. 5 principles of learning that can preserve and enhance the fruits of obedience we have discussed and help you learn others. I pray to be understood. If you comprehend and use the principles we now review, they can change the course of your life for increased good. The first principle is, obey the commandments of the Lord, no matter what the consequences, and he will guide you in your life. The Lord said, be humble, and the Lord God shall lead thee by the hand and give thee answer to thy prayers. The process of growth occurs in cycles, each one building upon itself in an upward spiral of capacity and understanding. Your decisions will take you through periods of testing and growth. They are often not easy, but they are always beneficial. You'll discover latent talents and unknown capacities. In the course of all this, the whole direction of your life may be altered for the Lord's purposes. As you walk the path of righteousness, you will find that this cyclic process will help you become stronger, increase understanding, and more easily become what you really want to be. This simple example will illustrate what I mean. I have a friend who's a wonderful educator. His name is Kenyon Wagner. When he was a young boy, his father gave him an incubator and 18 eggs, and he carefully watched those eggs night and day until they began to hatch. When the first beak began to protrude through the shell, he saw that the baby chick was struggling so intensely that he carefully broke the shell open. He did that for all 18 baby chicks. All 18 died. The next time, he let them struggle, strain and grow, and they all survived. An important part of your growth at college is facing and resolving most challenges on your own. How can you keep your decision to be obedient? How can you be sure that the determination in your heart will not be eroded by pressures around you? I would share a great principle of success I've observed in the lives of prophets. Each made up his mind only once to obey a particular truth. From then on, he used his energy to keep the truth, not to reanalyze it repeatedly under every new circumstance. Choose good friends, those who have made similar decisions in their lives, from among the student body, the faculty, your priesthood leaders, and the worthy members here. Like yourself, individuals who are careful to keep order and restraint and to use their time wisely. Students who go astray generally choose the other kind of friends. Be surrounded by those who are true friends, who accept you as you are, and whose relationship with you leaves you better. Remember the sound teachings you've gathered thus far in your life. Much of the disappointment and tragedy that a young person encounters occurs when he or she experiences the release from all control with a complete freedom to do anything desired. At this time of transition where you have complete control of your life, you will make decisions wisely because you have determined to serve the Lord. As you see the fruits of your decision to keep the commandments of God are many. One of enormous worth is the greatly enhanced probability that you will find an eternal companion that will walk the path you have chosen with you. I cannot adequately convey what a blessing that is. Now, the second principle of learning I would share. Consistently use the three avenues of learning available to you in the classroom and outside of it. They are what you hear, what you see, and what you feel through the Holy Ghost. I'll discuss each of these three learning methods. The first, what you hear. Most students concentrate only upon what they hear formally delivered in the classroom and little else. Some students operate like vacuum cleaners. They sweep everything that is said into the consciousness as though it were all of equal worth. That is a mistake. I attended a large Eastern university and at one point was the president of the scholarship society at that university. All of its members had qualified for generous economic aid by reason of their organized capacity to learn. Often in our private conversations, we discussed a very real paradox that we observed at the university. We recognized that the majority of the scholarship students were not those with the greatest intellectual capacity or natural talent. They were individuals who had learned the techniques of study and had become effective in their use. We observed how others with greater potential had not learned to concentrate their mind on the tasks at hand and consequently spent long hours attempting to learn concepts or memorize information by staring at a page while their mind wandered elsewhere. If you're encountering such difficulties, seek help. You can sharpen your skill at recognizing and recording the essentially important information and separating it from supporting examples and explanations. The faculty can help you with these skills. It would be well to investigate them unless you are particularly adept at this important aspect of learning from what you hear. The other two avenues of learning are not generally taught in the classroom, namely what you see and what you feel by the Spirit. Carefully observe what goes on about you in the classroom, especially out of it. It is not likely that the most treasured truths you will carry away from this educational experience will occur at the feet of a master teacher. Rather, they will be distilled from many careful observations and crucially important promptings that can pass unperceived or unrecorded if your consciousness is not tuned to care for them. You can increase your ability to enjoy success in life by consistently, conscientiously trying to distill the experiences you receive in and out of the classroom into definable principles and truths. You must separate carefully and often with great effort truths from the massive detail that surround them. Now I stress the third principle I would share. To me, this is the essence of learning. Distill from all sources of learning a set of principles and standards that will guide you now and throughout eternity. The best place I know of to begin is with the principles and standards you learn from the Lord and His prophets. You will need to identify other principles from other sources of truth as well. Anyone who studied chemistry or physics or mathematics knows that if a basic principle can be mastered, then the solution to many specific problems is assured. That truth applies to every walk of life. The challenge is to be able to identify fundamental principles. Like diamonds, they are generally buried in a mass of detail that has no significant lasting value. The successful learner develops the capacity to identify fundamental principles and truths, to record them, and to apply them. The more fundamental, the more generally applicable they are. Pondering and prayer are excellent ways of discovering them. Your objective should not be to get through your formal education, rather to absorb and use the experiences that can be acquired here. You will grow in the knowledge obtained through righteous efforts and the lessons learned from consistently facing and resolving the many challenges that you will encounter in your academic, social, and private life. Here you not only learn basic knowledge essential to your chosen field, you can learn how to live life to its fullest. As you expand your learning by what you observe and what you perceive through the Spirit, you will greatly increase your capacity to be successful in life. You will be led to establish goals and objectives for life which are likely to be more enduring and productive, more satisfying than you otherwise would be led to select and achieve. Beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic, or other basic fundamentals of your chosen field, you can discover your own personal potential. Learn how to think. Learn how to link concepts, to integrate facts from various disciplines into everyday experiences and from everyday experiences of college life. Create an atmosphere of freedom of thought through self-control that would allow you to sense the enormous capacity latent within you. How we love you. How we need you. You are among the instruments the Lord has provided to work miracles that are urgently needed in the world today. Please pray about what I have said to gain your own witness until you know that it can happen, and then strive diligently, and it will happen in your life. Most schools, as well-meaning as they are, build on the individual and train his or her capacities. All the students have when they leave is acquired knowledge and trust in themselves. Here, together with academic training, you can master spiritual truths. You can realize your potential and know that you can exceed your capacity as led by the Lord. Here you will learn how to make reality your worthy dreams of the future. Here you will gain the capacity to create a vision of your true worth. And then, through application of correct principles and eternal truths, and the consistent, appropriate use of moral agency, begin to convert that capacity, that potential, into reality. One of the most powerful sources of personal development will come through urgent prayer you offer in faith from a foundation of righteousness. You will learn much as feelings stir in your mind and heart. Be a compliant student to the ultimate teacher. He wants you to succeed even more than you do yourself. This is a time to set your course in life, a time to establish fundamental priorities. One of the challenges of your learning experience here is to be able to differentiate among the many good and bad things that can be done and select those that are righteous and essential. Here you enjoy a personal freedom that likely you have never had before. That freedom can be a friend or a foe. Depending on how it is used, you will come to find that the restraints provided by the teachings of the Lord actually form a platform to greater freedom. When they are hurriedly dismantled in the excitement of personal choice, there can result binding chains of transgression. This is not an appeal to your emotions, rather an effort to help you recognize the inevitable results of your having made correct choices and establishing the proper priorities in this critical phase of your life. Some here may say, I have so much to do, I can't take on anything more. The struggle I have just to meet minimum academic requirements is almost more than I can handle. I'm not suggesting you work harder, unless you're not tugging at your limits of capacity already. I am encouraging you to work more intelligently. There are those who cut a field of grain with a scythe or sickle, bind the shafts into sheaves, carry them to the threshing floor, and beat them to get the grain. Others use a thrashing machine to produce far greater yield per man hour of invested effort. That's what I'm talking about. We all, I believe, have noble ideals and objectives. Test your daily thoughts against your objectives. Are you making progress toward them, or have you begun to wander down paths that distract you or deflect you from meaningful purposes? The university is a workshop, the classroom, in it and out of it, where you can test the validity of principles you have selected to guide your life. Here is the place to set your path and a pattern for the rest of your life. Not all lessons will be learned in the classroom. The most important ones will be while you're on your knees. Some will distill in your mind and heart as you seek to use this experience as one of establishing the right balance in your life. Here you will set the priorities of life. Will they be primarily spiritual or material? Do they continue to center on service, or do they begin to drift towards selfishness? We all recognize how one who publicly imitates a high standard and privately lives beneath it provides the temptation of justification for others who violate the standard as well. Like a lightning rod, they draw high potential to ground. More importantly, you must recognize that the reverse is true. As you live a high standard of performance, publicly and privately, and even under great pressure, adhere to it, you raise the vision of others. Your example encourages others to realize more of their divine capacity. It lifts and motivates and, like a magnet, seeks out and attracts others to a higher, more noble standard of life. The power of your worthy example is enhanced manyfold when you reach out in understanding to another caught in the adversary's web of transgression here at Rick's, and help them into a harbor of safety where there is parental strength and priesthood leadership and understanding administration. There they can repair through repentance the strained and damaged parts of their character. Many yearn to overcome transgressions that bind them to a path they really do not want, although their public actions decry any desire to change. Privately, they do not know how to begin. Be that saving influence in their lives. The fourth principle is simple, but it is extraordinarily important. Live the truth that happiness comes from what you are, not from what you have. Real joy comes from noble character, and that is built from a pattern of consistent righteous decisions. Then the things we acquire are used as tools to help us and our families and others. They don't become ends unto themselves. Your righteous decisions determine who you are and what is important to you. it becomes easier to do the right things for happiness now and throughout your life. Resolutely keep your determination to obey the Lord, no matter what pressure you feel to do otherwise. And now the last principle. Center your life in the Savior and in His teachings. That is the best way I know to acquire both success and happiness. As you grow in capacity to follow that principle consistently, the rest I have mentioned will be of lesser importance. In closing, I will summarize the five principles we have discussed. Obey the commandments of the Lord in faith and humility, no matter what the consequences, and He will guide your life. Consistently use all three avenues of learning available to you within the classroom and out of it. They are what you hear, what you see, and what you feel through the Holy Ghost. Distill all sources of learning to a set of principles and standards that will guide you now and throughout eternity. Live the truth and happiness that comes from what you are, not from what you have. Center your life in the teachings of the Lord. Your adherence to these principles will provide these fruits of obedience: peace, integrity, discipline, capacity to work, love of service, confidence in self, trustworthiness, inspiration, power, spirituality, noble character, and love of your Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. I know these principles are true. I have proven them in my own life. There's one other fruit that comes from this course of life. It is the most beautiful, but the most difficult to talk about. As you live as you've determined to live, you will feel ever closer to your Father in heaven and His beloved Son. You will have direction from them in your life to know what to do and to be able to do it. We do love you. We very much need you. I rejoice in being on this campus with worthy youth. May you be blessed richly as you live the commandments of the Lord and acquire knowledge in this wonderful college. He lives. I solemnly testify He lives. I once had faith that He lives. Now I certify it is true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.